I'm Tony Hendra.
And I'm Jeff Kreisler.
And this is the Final Edition Radio Hour.
30 minutes of sizzling satire with teeth.
Tonight, we present the Romney Michiguts, wherein we discover just how nuts the bland, boring bugger of the blue-collar class really is.
Welcome to a segment we call Mitt Romney Will Say Literally Anything. It's the show where we call up Republican presidential candidate Mitt Romney with questions that simply call for a normal human response. Let's see what he does.
Hello?
Governor Romney, this is Tony Hendra with Mitt Romney Will Say Literally Anything.
I know why you're calling, Tony. You're outraged that President Obama apologized to Bin Laden. And I am in whole agreement with you.
When did he do that?
What did you say? Your signal is breaking up.
Never mind. I just wanted to ask you if you'd had a chance to see any movies while you're on the campaign trail.
Well, sure. I've seen that new Batman movie with the Bat Man, who's a bat.
The Dark Knight Rises.
Sure, I saw that one too. You know, Obama tried to stop production of that movie because it created jobs. I'll tell you the movie I didn't see, though, the one Obama directed that caused those riots in Libya.
The president made that?
Oh, yes. Absolutely. It's his second movie. In his first movie, he goes back in time and apologizes to Hitler.
Well, Governor, I know you're busy, so we'll let you go. Any last words for us?
I ended apartheid.
Good for you. Have a great night.
I will certainly try.
August 16th of this year was the 35th anniversary of Elvis Presley's death. Something happened on the King's Death Day, as his fans call it, which has been driving the South into a frenzy ever since. Strong Powers has the story.
On a fateful day just over a month ago, Tanya Wicks, a 42-year-old single mother, attended a swap meet in suburban Memphis. There, she exchanged a microwave for a tattered royal blue velvet cape with a few pieces of chipped costume jewelry and tarnished sequins sewn onto it. She took it home where something amazing happened. Tanya, tell us in your own words.
Well, I can't believe it now. I almost didn't do that deal. That microwave was almost new, only the beeper was busted. But I was needing a Dracula costume for my boy Terry for Halloween, so I did. Well, I get this ratty old thing home and shake it out to put it through the washer so it don't give Terry no diseases. You know, he has allergies, something terrible. And then I saw, almost like it was printed on the inside, the ghostly face of Elvis himself.
Yes, Tanya had come into possession of the long-lost Shroud of Elvis, which his millions of fans around the world believe to be the very last thing he wore before he left this earth. What did you do then, Tanya?
Well, I trembled all over, and I fell to my knees, and I prayed. I prayed to the Lord God, but mostly I prayed to the King of Rock, and gave him thanks.
The seriously overweight Tanya's faith was rewarded. Overnight, she shrank from a size 22 to a size 6.
That's right. And Terry, he lost 38 pounds he didn't need.
Word spread over the internet like wildfire. And there were many more miracles. Many more as fans flocked to Tanya's trailer park to witness and worship the King's image. Many involved the dramatic disappearance of facial hair, warts, cankers, goiters, hair lips, even tumors. But the vast majority involved massive weight loss. Across the South, newly trim and unblemished Elvis fans, many of whom hadn't had or had been unable to have sex for decades, hooked up and partied. Tanya?
I had more dates in a week than I had in 20 years. And, you know, stuff happens.
One of those dates was Professor Emeritus of Elvisology at Bob Jones University, Barnard B. Lee. Professor, I understand church leaders are becoming concerned about the Shroud.
Well, yeah. Especially the ones who do these hokey healing services.
Well, that's a load of crap, stealing folks' money.
But there's another level to it, Strong. Millions of Elvis fans have always believed the king was some kind of messiah, that when he passed over on the blessed toilet, wrapped in his gorgeous jewel-encrusted royal blue velvet cape, he actually ascended into heaven, leaving behind his blessed image on the shroud. These miracles give that credence.
The enterprising couple have acquired a luxurious tour bus from country singer Garth Brooks.
He's too heavy to get up the steps now.
I guess the shroud didn't work for him.
No, I just don't think the Lord likes country.
And now they're touring the South proclaiming a new faith, the First Church of the Holy Shroud of Elvis.
In the words of Jesus,
upon his classic rock I will build my church.
We call our little flock the Presbyterians.
Who knows where it will all lead? Already, Tanya and Barney have competition. Another new church of Elvis worshippers called the Presleyans, a much stricter faith who also claim to have a holy relic of Elvis, the Blessed Pelvis.
That's some old pig bones. Next thing they'll come up with is the blessed deep-fried peanut butter and banana sandwich. We Presbyterians are the one true faith.
Amen. But haven't we heard that before?
That's blasphemy strong. You know what happens to blasphemers? I'm just a hunk of bird in the flesh.
Read FDR about, you know, relief being a narcotic, a subtle destroyer of the human spirit. We got to get off this welfare, is what he said. In that sense, if it's a narcotic, Barack Obama is a drug dealer of welfare.
BBC World Service.
This is Grant Freely for BBC News. An outrageous video produced by the notorious Terry Jones allegedly sparked the attack on the American embassy in Libya on Tuesday, Greenwich Mean Time. The BBC was able to locate the Terry Jones video on YouTube. Here is an excerpt.
What makes you think she's a witch?
Well, she turned me into a newt.
A newt?
I got better.
Burn her, Eddie!
Burn!
That didn't sound very Muslim.
BBC World Service.
And now, episode 12 of Ken Burns, The Flame War.
Dearest Yelp, Thursday night, my companions and I ventured forth to the spaghetti boat on Route 12. As a cloud of mid-level Italian cooking benumbed our senses, a hostess named Aisha led us to a table that was, at once, both too close and too far from the bathroom. The waitress gave us menus after an interminable 7 minutes, then returned too soon for our order. We panicked that she would vanish into the fog if we betrayed any hesitation, made hasty, unready choices. Choices we would regret. She was also late with our soda. I give the spaghetti boat only one star, and fear I shall not be home by Christmas. Signed, Beauregard 26.
To my Yelp followers, my own experience at the spaghetti boat has been of a different complexion than for the aforeseen Beauregard 26. I find the salads fresh, the pasta endearing, and the breadsticks unlimited. Do not be misled by the traitorous and deceitful musings of Beauregard 26, who is taking spiteful revenge for perceived minor slights, and who reacted with resentment and dysphoria upon learning he was not the center of the spaghetti boat universe, and who is also a gaywad. I give Spaghetti Boat 5 stars. Sincerely, Ratfart 3.
To all on Yelp who hear my cries, I impart a dire warning that the supposed Rat Fart 3, far from being an objective arbiter, is in fact a spaghetti boat employee. an ill-bred and churlish knave who attempted to clear our table while we still lingered in discussion of profound import. And who uses the word gaylord anymore? How old are you? With great concern, Beauregard 26.
Oh, yelp. Beauregard 26 cried like a young maiden of first blush when informed we no longer serve the bloomin' onion. He is a soft product of private schooling and would not last one day as a waiter, and is still a gaywad. And I shall back that judgment with steel. Eternally, Ratfart 3.
Yelp, my love. I have created 114 throwaway online identities, and they have all given this restaurant one star. I am Beauregard 26. P.S. If Ratfart and I truly are on opposite sides of this great civil conflagration, why do we both have southern accents?
That was episode 12 of Ken Burns' The Flame Wars. Tune in for episode 13, when Ratfart 3 delivers the immortal response that sets off the final battle.
Gaywad, 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 gaywad.
America changed at that moment. To use what is being called a flimsy ploy to bring this guy in for questioning proves that the Obama administration, through all this appeasement and apologizing, answers to the Quran first and to the Constitution second.
The Final Edition Radio Hour is proud to present Romney Antoinette by John Bridgeport Marshall, episode 39.
Your Majesty, your latest scandal has gone viral.
Oh, no. Not a picture of my boobies.
No, that's Kate Middleton.
Middle class?
No, Middleton. Middle class is what you are trying to destroy.
Yes, I know. Although, I try to say it more elegantly than that.
This new scandal threatens to derail your campaign.
Is it about how I don't care about the poor?
No.
How I want to end Medicare?
No.
Medicaid?
No.
Is it about that dog thing?
No.
It's about whatever I said about Libya. I don't know what I actually said. I wasn't very elegant about it.
It's about how you said that 47% of the voters are victims who want the government to do everything for them and who don't pay income tax.
Oh, well, that's not right. I thought it was 48%.
Whatever it is, you can't ask a country to vote for you if you think half of them are bums.
I didn't say half. I said 47%. Now, get your facts straight. If there's one thing I know, it's percentages. How do you think I get away with not paying my taxes?
That's just it, sir. You're accusing the American people of doing what you yourself do.
So what's the problem? Is it because I have a car elevator?
No, that's not it.
Because I can get rid of it. I mean, I can't, but I'll say I will. I'll just have to say it elegantly.
Even conservatives are deserting you.
Do I need them?
They're your base.
I thought that was in the Cayman Islands.
That's your tax base. I'm talking about your political base.
Oh. Well, run out and get me a new base. Here's $20 million.
It doesn't work that way.
Well, how does it work?
The way it works is you're going to lose.
Will my magic underwear get me out of this?
It's not that kind of magic.
Maybe I should release a photo of my boobies.
It's probably your best move, sir.
Vice presidential candidate Congressman Paul Ryan of Wisconsin is making major policy waves. He has a drastic plan to reform public education. Our Strong Powers and Pepper Lewis are with Ryan at a pilot program for preschoolers he created in downtown Milwaukee.
Congressman, this is a pretty big space for a daycare center.
Strong, this was formerly the biggest juvenile facility in Milwaukee. We've repurposed it as a super fun, low-cost daycare option for inner-city working mothers called a Daytention Center. It's named for Ayn Rand. For dollars a day, each preschooler gets their own secure space to sleep, watch Nickelodeon, or just be alone with their thoughts.
You put them in these cells?
We don't call them cells, Pepper. We call them play cells. The little ones are two to a play cell with one monitor. Optional extras include toys, food, Ritalin, and Adderall.
What's with the orange jumpsuits?
Aren't they cute? With their little names and numbers stenciled right over their little hearts, you could just eat them right up. Plus, if they try to break out, it's easy to apprehend them.
Why is that little girl in handcuffs?
That's Vanessa. Vanessa's been a bad girl. Officer, bring Vasquez over here. What's her infraction?
Vasquez is in cuffs because she sucks her thumb. She's a serial thumb sucker.
Vanessa, honey, why do you persist in sucking your thumb? You know what Auntie Anne says. Thumb sucking is for weaklings. You try the hole?
Affirmative. NG just wet herself. Kept right on sucking.
Jesus. Vanessa, you know this is your third citation.
I want my mommy.
You ain't seen your mom for a while, Vasquez.
So in the Ayn Rand Detention Center, it's three sucks and you're out?
Absolutely, Pepper. Vanessa's had her chance to redeem herself. She's only four, but she'll be tried as a high schooler.
Tried?
By a jury of her peers.
Of four-year-olds?
Of course not. They'll all be in grade school. The prosecutor presents the state's case, then the jury gives their individual verdicts, pro or con.
But don't they all parrot the authority figure?
No. There's always a few who express rudimentary sympathy or start blubbering themselves. Then we know they, too, are potential problem students.
Sounds like nothing more than organized bullying.
We don't share the perverse liberal prejudice against bullying, Pepper. Bullying is a force of nature. The wounded wildebeest is abandoned by the herd. Hens peck sick chicks to death. Bullying keeps the group strong and pure.
But these aren't wildebeests or chickens. They're little kids.
Conservative education is based on the truth that each individual is solely responsible and accountable for their actions. You can't start teaching that lesson too early, and the weak must be weeded out from the strong.
If Vanessa's found guilty, what happens to her?
Vanessa will be put in a special program for slow learners. Governor Walker and his Republican majority have pledged $24 billion to fund it.
Wow, that's pretty generous.
Sure is. Who says Republicans don't care about the poor, the vulnerable, the learning challenged?
But $24 billion equals the entire state's Department of Education budget for the next 4 years.
Slow learners need and deserve more funding than fast ones. Only the best for poor little Vanessa.
How will Wisconsin's 7,000-plus public schools function for 4 years with no budget?
They won't. They'll have to be closed.
You're willing to sacrifice the education of Wisconsin's 4 million public school students for a few slow learners?
I don't get liberals. You're always yakking about a safety net. We provide one for society's most vulnerable kids, and you start bitching about cost?
Frankly, Congressman, this sounds like a transparent ruse to bankrupt public education by exploiting public sympathy for challenged kids.
Pepper, that is beneath contempt.
Whoa, Pepper, let's keep it clean. Even if that's true, it's not our job to call out a man who could be our next vice president.
It isn't?
Our job is to stick to the talking points. Paul, will this Wisconsin experiment be the basis for the Romney administration's national education policy?
Yes, and we think it's revolutionary. Identify slow learners as soon as possible, get them on their own track, and don't stint with the dollars.
You have a name for this revolutionary approach?
The Slow Child Left Behind Program.
That's brilliant! Thanks, Paul.
Thank you, Strong.
I quit.
That makes you a quitter.
Well, I hate to think what that makes you.
Pepper, we've got to work within the system.
Fuck the system. The system sucks.
Hey, want to coordinate questions next time?
On next week's show, Congressman Ryan will reveal details of the Slow Child Left Behind program and how he'll end Social Security just by changing its name to Socialist Security.
My wife has become a real problem. She has no respect for me as the head of the house. She insults me. Please tell me what I can do.
Well, you could become a Muslim, then you could beat her.
He called me his little Swiss bank as he made a massive deposit. He was all man and didn't seem taxed at all. He flipped me and flopped me and suggested we have a spanking old tea party. I knew I wasn't in Kansas anymore.
I could tell how desperately he wanted to enter the Oval Office as he crossed my border. The thrust was clear as he started calling me the middle class and occupied my lawn.
Betcha. I don't normally read, but geez, oh whiz, did this year book, you know, well, it's better than riding on the hood of Tad Snowcat in neutral. Gives Drill Baby Grill a whole new meaning.
I found the notion of a six-way confusing, and it was odd that a grown man would name his Boehner John. But when he started muttering about jobs, I obliged. He refused to pay for protection, so I assumed he would self-deport. But he would not have it as he roamed free in my private sector!
This is sex like Adam and Eve had at the Olive Garden 6,000 years ago. It's very Christian. Heck, I tried to surprise Marcus on Father's Day with a coffee hidden in his closet, but there was just no darn room.
We were playing prep schoolboy. He chased me and pinned me down. When he tried to cut my hair, I used our safety word.
Limbo.
But then he wanted to play banker. The leather teller outfit was so uncomfortable, but I knew how much he loved coming into money.
Fifty Shades of Myth has this old desert gal's Colorado River flowing through her Grand Canyon for the first time in decades. And that is good for America.
50 Shades of Myth. It's a fine line between fame and pleasure.
I think we need to remember the term sodomy came from God Almighty, and that Jesus didn't, when he spoke of Sodom, he didn't say anything about the homosexuality. Jesus tried to rape angels who came down there, so that's where sodomy came from. We use the term sodomy, and it means Sodom, and what's it like? Well, we're heading that way as a nation. In history, there's never been a civilization ever in history that has embraced God Almighty and turned away from traditional homosexuality and traditional sodomy and has survived. It's not a pretty world we live in right now, and we need all the sodomy we can get. And I don't think we're exactly setting ourselves up for homosexuality. The same thing's going to happen to us. If history's any guide,
John F. Kennedy.
We need all the sodomy we can get.
I'll make you square, baby.
We can get.
As long as you pay me.
We can get. All the sodomy. All the sodomy. All the sodomy we can get. I think we need to remember the term sodomy came from God Almighty, and the term sodomy, it means Sodom, and what's it like? It's a
This episode of the Final Edition Radio Hour was performed by Darby Worley, Barry Lank, Kevin Janis, John Marshall, Tony Hendra, and Houston's amazing Scooter and his team. It was written by John Marshall, Barry Lank, Jeff Chrysler, Tony Hendra, and Houston's amazing Scooter and his team. Visit us at thefinaledition.com often for daily doses of satire with teeth. Clean, bright, cavity-free, cute, killer, cannibal teeth. The Final Edition Radio Hour was produced by Jeff Chrysler and Tony Hendra and edited and engineered by Greg Russ. The Final Edition Radio Hour is a production of the Final Edition LLC, copyright 2012.